You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It's like winning a used me. I'm blind because I think I'm getting so huge. I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and cuckoo.
I know I'm supposed to talk about the inauguration last night, and I will. But have you ever tried to keep track of what your phone backs up between your phone and the cloud and wherever the hell that is? Yeah, don't. Just let it go. Whatever's in the clouds, in the cloud. Oh my God, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, so I got, I don't know how I started looking at that, and I was like, what? What is this? 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 Man. And I thought, well, what setting is backing all this up? And then I figured out that it was my setting. Well, yeah, back all this up. No problem. So I had stuff everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. The cloud. And then you got various clouds, right? I've got a Samsung phone. Samsung, they've got a cloud. I've got my cloud, the Google cloud. Then there's the Dropbox. Then there's whatever. Pretty confusing, to say the least. The inauguration last night, it was billed as, you know, President Trump was going to, things I had heard was he was going to, you know, lay the groundwork for bipartisan stuff. He was also, there was going to be, you know, pay attention to the North Korea piece. But I thought, I didn't see a whole lot of, he certainly, what I thought was he hit it down the center of the fairway in terms of what we would expect from a Republican who's had a successful first year. He touts his own success, which is, you know, right, which is normal for the event. And beyond that, I think this is probably a good thing. He didn't do anything that was a surprise. And I think that if you're probably in the business of dealing with Donald Trump, you're probably, that's a victory. That you know, teleprompter speech does all right normally with that. Didn't say anything that was too crazy. But it's interesting that, you know, what are the biggest headlines that come out of, yes, you know, are coming out this morning? Is a comment that he makes as he's walking out of the chamber when somebody leans over and says, hey, what about releasing that memo? Major headlines. The speech. Yeah, that was just background, it seemed, for the rest of it. The most moving moments, I thought, a moment of defiance when the defector, I can't remember, from North Korea, holds up the crutches that he no longer uses, but he used to walk out of while he was an amputee in North Korea. He holds them up for the gallery to see, for the floor to see. This is pretty amazing. Last night, after the State of the Union, General Kelly was on with Brian Kilray, right? That's the guy's name on Fox. And General Kelly says that teacher, he's an idiot, to be honest with you. Kelly's quoted as saying he can go to hell, right? White House Chief of Staff and Gold Star father. Here he is.
What is your reaction to that, knowing that he's teaching a bunch of 17-year-olds this? Yeah.
Well, I think the guy ought to go to hell. I just hope he enjoys the liberties and the lifestyle that we have fought for.
Nice. John Kelly. That's straight from the heart, too, as a Gold Star father. And you have somebody that's such an idiot. Evidently, he's been suspended from his job where he teaches high school. First of all, I would say, as an educator, that's the kind of stuff that's going on in our classroom. And to be honest with you, I think the more you talk to educators, our kids deal with so much of that. It's ridiculous. The editorializing of teachers. What place does his personal opinion, especially an opinion like that, have in a class with minor adults? Yeah, it doesn't have any. That opinion doesn't have any. It's clearly inappropriate. So if that's what he's doing, and the young guy who if you read the article, I wish I could remember the kid's name, but he wants to join the Marine Corps. And he said he does this all the time. And that's why he pulled his phone out and he recorded it. And then he showed it to his mom, and his mom sent it to a friend who posted it on Facebook, and then somebody else posted it someplace else. And, the friend posted it someplace else. I guess it was initially in a private message, and then she posted it on her Facebook page, and then the rest is 6 to 10 million hits later. It is what it is. But, so that was after the speech last night. Some interesting little, tidbits, about the speech, from CBS, and it's just seeing again how the major media covers him. From CBS, CBS News poll, 75% of the people that responded to the CBS poll approved of the speech. Huh? Whoa, what is that? Next question, how did the speech make you feel? Proud, 65%, safer, 35%, scared, 14%, angry, 21%. Party identification, 42% of Republicans responded, 25% identified as Democrats, and 33% identified as independents. And I would tell you that probably the key number in there is the independents. Policies you heard in the speech amongst the people who watched it, right? Again, this is that same poll. Will help you, 54%. Will hurt you, 14%. Will not affect you, 32%. So over half the people said that the policies articulated in the speech would help them. Trump credit for the economy among people that watch the speech. A lot of credit. Before the speech, 51%. After the speech, 54%. So pretty interesting little poll, CBS. The other thing that was interesting, the other moment was, I don't know if you could keep a dry eye, man, when Otto Warmbier's parents, were sitting there, and they just couldn't, you know, you saw them struggling to try to keep it together, while the president talked about the way their son was treated by North Korea. And, I mean, that was just rip your heart out stuff. And then the story, just the great stories that were told last night. The story about the police officer who comes upon, the woman who's addicted to heroin, and then he and his wife adopt a baby, and the baby's sitting there sleeping on his wife's chest. You're like, holy shit, man. What a just incredible, great, great story. You know, and then, you know, imagine a guy like Kelly, right? Here you're sitting and you see all these selfless, great people. And then you get asked about this high school teacher. It's certainly not a choice that I would make. But condescending, backhanding, and if that doesn't get you fired, spewing that kind of hate to high school students, what does it take to get fired in a school? Well, with the teachers' union, I'm sure it's probably more than that. But it's ridiculous. So I just imagine being John Kelly. You see all these great, you know, selfless people, and then you see garbage like that. And would it shock anybody? The guy's a politician. No. He's not a particularly great speech maker. We all know that. But I mean, I thought for him, it was all the things that he talks about. It was no change in the immigration policies that he's talked about. And again, what he offered, you know, as he said, is almost three times as many people, you know, a pathway to a legal status in the United States. And the Democrats turned their back on that. And evidently, the issue is chain migration. And so it's interesting to read a little bit about that. Chain migration is the number one source of immigration into the United States now. Is that the way it's supposed to be? I don't think so. And so, I don't know. And I don't know if it's more politics here at play, because there certainly seems to be Schumer already gave the money in negotiations for increased border security, the quote wall, unquote, whatever. That doesn't seem to be a showstopper. And so the issue of chain migration. And so the president says here, you can have three times as many people into the country and you get no counteroffer by Democrats. Yeah, it's a non-starter, blah, 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 blah. I wonder what the dreamers are saying. Hey, for God's sakes, give him what he wants. Give him what he wants. So again, I thought it was right down the middle. Again, not the greatest speech maker. Some great stories got told last night. The other part that I think is interesting is the number of responses. What? Like five or six different, responses, do you remember the day when there was one? Normally given by a very, very prominent, very, very prominent, member of the other party. And, I guess that's not the way it works anymore. So I think that's interesting. And I also think it's somewhat emblematic of our both parties are searching for the dominant theme in their party. The president certainly is singing the dominant tune in the Republican Party as he sucks the life out of every room that he walks into. So his combination of a conservative populist agenda, the Democrats, who speaks for them? Hard to find out. And I don't know. So when you look at the 2018 elections, can you win only on anti-Trump? Do you have to have a candidate? Because I don't think you can, because the people that elect people, again, are those independents. They're the ones that elect people. And so if the independents aren't good with it, and I don't know that just running anti-Trump after everybody gets a bump in their paycheck, hell, that's a lot. That's more than anybody else has done for me. So I guess we'll see. I think the Democratic Party is still lost in terms of the message that Hillary Clinton didn't take to the United States, which is the reason she was defeated, is that she didn't have a message that appealed to, I would say, middle of the road and conservative Democrats, which I would say form the lion's share of that party. And the other thing that's interesting is you have a part of that party that believes in socialism. And we're getting a pretty big lesson in capitalism again. Oh, it does work. Interesting. So it'll be interesting to see if the recovery can continue, if a bit of deregulation, if a bit of lower taxes can provide the impetus that it takes to jumpstart an economy, to bring jobs back, and to truly act as a I won't say a cure-all, but certainly an elixir for an economy that hasn't grown for shit since about the year 2000. And then what does that say to the Bernie Sanders and everybody else that, wait a minute, unemployment's extremely low in our country now. Why? Well, because we did some stuff that made it good to do business in the United States again. That's interesting. Or we can opt for more government in our lives, higher taxes in our lives, and all of that. Yeah, probably not. So it's interesting. So last night the economy on display, the president on display, and again, kind of an interesting thing for me personally is seeing your personal friends of yours, you know, Kelly, Dunford, Mattis, and Neller, sitting front and center as the president gives his State of the Union and having key roles. So always a kick in the pants personally to see that as those guys are doing great things. So I've got a couple emails about the State of the Union. We'll talk about that as we continue. Although, you know, again, I think there wasn't a whole lot new in anything that he said. And he was upbeat. He didn't give the biggest thing I think he tends to do is he gives the other side ammunition to use against him. And I think that when he refrains from doing that, what happens is the discussion goes back to the issue. And he takes himself out of there, because I think the easiest thing to do is to oppose the issue because he's for it. But when he does things like saying, for instance, earlier this week, when the deputy director of the FBI retired, if you will, evidently under pressure from the director of the FBI, who was about to reassign him based on the IG, based on, I guess, a preliminary look at the IG report that's coming to him, he said, we don't have any comment. And he didn't tweet about it. And so what that does is it forces the media to focus on the issue. And the issue was in his favor, which is, I think, at the end of the day, and it's interesting, Andrew McCabe is not your basic run-of-the-mill FBI guy. He was not out there working cases, being an FBI agent. He was an administrator, management-type guy. He's a New York City, you know, fast mover, being groomed for a top management position in the FBI. And when you read FBI guys that are critical of him, he wasn't a dyed in the wool, this is how we do it, this is what we do. He came from outside that culture and that ethos. Not to say that he wasn't respected, not to say he wasn't a good guy. He was just outside of those guys. And so two things that I think that for the life of me, I can't understand. His wife takes, what, between $750,000 and $1 million to run for Senate in Virginia. Now, I think that if she's taking that kind of money and that's your wife, then anything political that would come your way, you should probably opt out of it. But he doesn't. And now, you know, the allegation is that for 3 weeks he sat on the emails before the election when he should have had no part in that. Why didn't he recuse himself? Why didn't James Comey say, yeah, you're not the guy that needs to be sitting in this. You subject us to scrutiny that we don't need right now. And yet none of that was done. And so so it's going to be interesting what comes out in this memo from the House Intelligence Committee, and to see how it reflects on different individuals at the FBI and the Department of Justice. So on the coattails of the State of the Union, that is the next shoe to fall here sometime this week. So anyway, good morning to you. We're going to Eric Campbell's going to join us this morning. He, the writer of close to 40 different volumes about the United States Marine Corps, and one of those volumes is about Kaysan. Another one is about Hue. We'll have him back on and talk about that. But if you've read it all about the Marine Corps, you know who Eric Campbell is. So he has been a frequent guest of the program. So you're going to hear from him this morning as we talk about his book about Kaysan. Siege in the Clouds, I think it's the subtitle. So, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps ban makes it official.
They don't do it for fame or fortune, John. They sure don't. They do it because of the love and patriotism they have for our country. And they are the best of the best.
The Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee have voted to release the Nunes memo. The president told...
And this is dedicated to the parents of Otto Warmbier, who last night, if you watched them, just heartbreaking to see their pain and losing their son the way they lost him in such a ridiculous, stupid way. So our thoughts and prayers go out to them and dedicated to them.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by the by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Yeah, you know, he got a pretty big round of applause last night, too, right in the middle of it. Yeah. Secretary of Defense, James N. Mattis. Pretty impressive. I saw a poll the other day that rates him among leaders, rates him at or near the top in the poll. In terms of the respect people have for the job that he's doing. Anyway. Currently, cloudy in 27 in Quantico, sunny in 34 at Camp Lejeune, cooled off in both those places relative to temperatures yesterday. 54 degrees and mostly sunny in Granbury, Texas. Up in Big Timber, Montana, clouds in 30. 29 Palms, sun in 53. Pendleton, sun in 43. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, and 67 with rain falling in Okinawa. In Marja, it is clear, dark, and 48 at the home of All Marine Radio. Partly cloudy and 51 degrees. Looking for a high of 75 today. Yeah. But cloudy sky. Come on. Get out of here, man. Let the sun shine. We'll check news headlines coming up next on a day that we talk about the inauguration a little bit. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Johnny Mellencamp. All right, we continue. Big speculation is about that memo. Now the truth about the memo is the House Intelligence Committee votes to release it. And the president has 5 days to act. He doesn't have to approve its release, but he has 5 days to act. He has 5 days to act if he doesn't think it ought to be released and to deny its release. So there you have it. The John Kelly again on Brian Kilmeade's radio program this morning on Fox Radio, and with some interesting things to say.
We've got our folks in the
Now this is about the that intelligence memo.
The our national security lawyers in the White House that work for me, work for the president. They're slicing and dicing it, looking at it so that we know what it means and what it understands.
Did you see it?
I did.
What do you think?
It'll be released here pretty quick, I think, and the whole world can see it.
There you have it. So, John Kelly, refraining from commenting, but making some news headlines this morning. Anyway, good morning to you. We continue to talk about the. I've got a couple of emails. One, I'm a conservative, Mac. I'm not really a Trump fan per se. I do think that that was about as good as he can do in a speech. I agree with you that sometimes he's certainly his own worst enemy in terms of saying things that ultimately become the lightning rod of the issue as opposed to letting the issue kind of play out itself, having staked out his own position well. I thought he did a good job in not creating any of that last night. I thought he did a good job of pointing to the successes they've had, as well as the optimism, I think, that the country feels unless you're part of the 34% of the nation that's a hardcore Democrat, and then you feel only despair. I am curious, though, about the number of responses. It does speak, to me anyway, of a lack of a unified effort against him. And I think we all know from military operations, when you don't have unity of effort and you try to take something big on, normally you will fail because you will ultimately have more clashes. And then what you have is you wind up splitting efforts and not being efficient and it fails. I believe that's what happened to Democrats in the last election. Their inability to nominate the appropriate candidate, their inability to figure out who they were trying to message, took them in a very, very liberal direction, and it left what has been the base of the Democratic Party, the base that Bill Clinton understood, the base that even Joe Biden understood, somehow or other, escaped Hillary Clinton. Go figure. I don't know that the Democrats have a message yet. If they do, I haven't heard it. Make America socialist for once? Is that a message that will sell? Will that play in Peoria? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And I don't think it's going to be enough simply to be anti-Trump. Because, again, as you very accurately point out, it's that 35% in the middle that determines every one of these elections, and those people are neither Democrat nor Republican. It will be interesting. I thought he did okay last night, and okay in speech making for Trump is pretty goddamn good. Enjoy the program. Enjoyed the conversations and the audio that you played from guys from KSON. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. God bless those dudes. Yeah, you know what? God bless those dudes is right. The again, you know, 50 years ago, we're talking about places like Tet. Or we're talking about Tet and places like Quay and Quezon. Remember this. The North Vietnamese Army and the Viet Cong were literally smashed during Tet. The Viet Cong essentially annihilated during Tet. And the NVA would not be able to mount serious offensive operations for, 4 years subsequent to this? Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. When you think about Tet in military terms, we don't think of it as certainly as a success. And which is odd, right? And probably we don't think of it as a success because it wasn't an offensive operation. You know, that the North Vietnamese infiltrated and moved a lot of assets down south. The Viet Cong got mobilized and moved, and we're fighting from our heels. And subsequent to that, though, they took one of the incredible beatings in modern military history. To their credit, they licked their wounds, and after about 4 years, they came back. I mean, and if you what I thought pretty interesting in the Vietnam War documentary, there was a second version of Tet that happened, and so it'll be and you saw that and you're like, what? And they documented how, yeah, that they came again and were essentially bled white. But we don't look at it as a great victory, as a great military victory. We look at it as Tet. What is it? It's something else. It's something else. So I was thinking about that yesterday in terms of, you know, a conversation I was having with somebody, and they were talking about, you know, how the Viet Cong, the part of Vietnam they were in, that the Viet Cong were essentially wiped out. Yeah, you know, all the stories of leaving their villages singing, going to fight the puppet army, you know, going to drive them away with the North Vietnamese army, you know, on the march, and would be behind them, and then they didn't come home. They didn't come home. They left singing, and they never came home, and they were annihilated. And so he said, "Yeah, where I was in Vietnam, where we fought the Viet Cong, activity, I mean, was just crickets after that. Just crickets after that." And so, that's, you know, where this kind of got planted in my head, thinking about that discussion later on. We don't look at it as, you know, we look at it as our culminating point in the war. That even though the Viet Cong were annihilated, and the NVA would need essentially a 4-year hiatus before they could conduct sustained offensive operations, and everything else they did up to that point was just faking it, that we don't look at it as a victory. So I, you know, again, it's perspective, and so that's why, you know, you hear guys like Barney Barnum who defiantly say, look, you know, we may not have triumphed as a nation in Vietnam, but I can tell you that we didn't lose on the battlefield. That we may have taken our lumps and given fights, but that happens. But at the end of the day, we kicked their ass every time we fought them. So, when you talk about war, it is more than a military piece. We all know that. But Tet, interesting little piece of history to study, and certainly its outcomes are, they are what they are. And the numbers don't lie, history doesn't lie, and the outcomes don't lie. So we'll talk about that a little bit here in about 15 minutes with Eric Hamill. Yeah, Eric Hamill written close to 40 volumes on the Marine Corps relative to Marine Corps history. And different battles and picture books and things like that. So, born and raised in Philadelphia and started writing at a young age. And one of his great breaks is being allowed to write about Cho Sen before anybody else had really written about it. And also, his work about Khe Sanh. So, and that's what we'll talk about. And we'll have him back on probably in another week or two to talk about, the Battle of Hue. So we'll talk about that later, I believe on Friday. Yeah, the interview is close to 3 hours long. Yeah, his name is Nick War. He was a platoon commander with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. And Nick's an interesting guy. And that's, you know, talking about, yeah, we were fighting the VC in the vicinity of Da Nang, north of Da Nang, when we got told to get your asses to Hue. We were going to go into a city and fight in the city. What? How do you do this? You know, how do you do this? And then again, you know, Nick's forever scarred by the rules of engagement that were laid down as they went into the old imperial city, the provincial capital of Hue, and people were trying not to get the city ruined, especially the old city, the imperial city. So they were not allowed to use the supporting arms initially that they would come to use in subsequent days and weeks, and his platoon paid for it. And so you'll hear him talk about that. You'll hear him talk about that. And so he's an interesting guy. He's also instrumental, one of the drivers of the Vietnam Veteran Memorial that will go into the 5th Marines Memorial Garden. So every member of the 5th Marine Regiment that fought and was killed in Vietnam, fighting for underneath the regiment's flag, will have their name carved in stone, just like the veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. And I also believe that there's a Korean memorial going into that park as well. So pretty interesting stuff. So Nick's instrumental in that. He's also leading a 1-5 returns to I Corps tour here. I think in the not too distant future. So you'll hear him on Friday in a lengthy interview that talks about a lot of different things, from rules of engagement to Vietnam to fundraising, and how they cracked the code to raise almost $400,000 for this memorial. So he's an interesting guy. One of those guys who came home and then shut the door on Vietnam and didn't start writing, I want to say, until 20 plus 30 years afterwards, when he said his memories of Vietnam started returning. So pretty interesting psychological stuff that goes with these interviews. And so he's a very interesting guy to talk to, and I think you'll enjoy the interview. You'll enjoy the interview. We're going to take another quick break, and then when we come back, we'll check a few news headlines as we get ready to talk to Eric Hamill here on the day after the inauguration. The president, fanfare from the president's speech last night, which I think was pretty much straight down the road. I didn't see too much sticking his hand out, although he would, I think, certainly maintain that he's stuck his hand out incredibly far already on immigration. So we'll see him. We'll hear from more of that here in the news coming up. More of All Marine Radio on a Wednesday, Hump Day, coming up next here right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoffoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Another email. Mac, Donald Trump doesn't impress me much, but like a lot of people, I think including you, I do embrace his policies as a conservative. I think the speech he gave last night was about as good as he can do. One of the things that was pretty interesting was even though he spoke of North Korea, the inflammatory rhetoric, the taunting isn't there anymore. I'm not sure what to make of all that. because it seems like that's what he enjoys doing, is the taunting thing on Twitter. I hope that he's gotten smarter. I'm not sure that I would bet the house on that, though. Yeah, you know what? I'm sympathetic to that point of view. I do think that's interesting. That the taunting thing, especially relative to North Korea, has cooled down, has stopped essentially, as he talks about other issues. And then when he talks about it, he talks about it very soberly, but he doesn't talk about it in the same inflammatory rocket man, you know, all that kind of stuff, which clearly is not very helpful. The early bird. Marine Corps Times, there's nothing new on the Marine Corps Times. Early bird top five stories. And the president spoke of, you know, funding the military last night. Question is, how? And that, again, that has not been able to be done, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic. And it's the reason that I play that clip at the start of the program from Secretary Mattis, in that it's the absolute positive truth. And I think it's pathetic, but this is the truth.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake?
The bottom line. So even though the president talks about it, you know, that entails Congress passing a budget, which Congress doesn't seem inclined to do here in the last, 8 years? Second headline. Both number one and number two are in a publication called Defense News. Number two, Pentagon is planning for war with China and Russia. Can it handle both? Well, of course it can't. We revised our entire defense, our defense strategic planning on the fact that we would no longer, you know, structure ourselves to fight two wars simultaneously. Some interesting things in here. Here's one of them. Any fight with China, if were to come to blows, would be a largely maritime and air fight. It doesn't mean the Army and the Marine Corps don't have a place, but when you think about how a potential conflict with China would evolve, it very likely involves a substantial contribution from naval and air forces, and the Army and the Marine Corps would be supporting elements in that fight. By contrast, the Russian global problem set is largely air and a ground fight, supported by elements of our maritime component, because you can't get to Russia, you can't get to Europe in any large measure without transiting the North Atlantic, which means there's going to be a maritime fight to get things to the continent, but the fight itself, as it evolves, will likely be an air and ground fight. Yeah, so the question is, can you do them simultaneously? No, you can't. You absolutely cannot. So anyway, interesting little article there in Defense News. The third story, Trump warns of looming threats, promises to boost military might in his State of the Union address. Again, you got to have a budget, boys and girls. You got to have a budget. You got to have a budget. And so the president can articulate any vision he wants. But as the Secretary of Defense said, without the money that goes with it, it's a hallucination. I like the word hallucination, too. Number four story in today's Early Bird. It lists the yesterday. Was it Monday? When the United States published a list of Russian executives that are on the so-called Putin list. The Trump administration The Trump administration released a congressionally mandated list of Russian officials and businessmen considered to be beneficiaries, God almighty, of Russian President Vladimir Putin's government. But for now, we're refraining from introducing new sanctions for Russia's alleged meddling in the 2016 election. The list includes over 200 Russians, including several defense industry chiefs and other businessmen whose business interests include firms producing components and smaller defense equipment. So anyway, so that list, the Russians are mocking the list. And you have what you have. So anyway, we continue to dance with Russia. Number five story from CNN. North Korea to parade dozens of long-range missiles before the Winter Olympics. The display of hundreds of missiles and rockets would be an attempt to scare the hell out of the Americans, one source says. And so that you can find that on CNN. It's designed to do what those parades are always designed to do, which is show to the world the great might of the Soviet Union, the Chinese, and the North Koreans. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, not so much. Pentagon, kind of an interesting little story that's evolved around data relative to Taliban activity. So, headline, Pentagon, gag order on Afghan data was a mistake. In an abrupt reversal, the U.S. military on Tuesday said it made a mistake when it ordered an independent federal auditor to stop providing the public with information about U.S. war efforts in Afghanistan that helped to measure how the 16-year-old stalemate war is going. Just hours after the report was publicly released, the U.S.-led NATO coalition in Afghanistan issued a statement blaming human error for the order and provided a few segments of the data that had been restricted. The newly released information revealed that 44% of Afghanistan is contested or under the control of insurgents right now. So, yeah, pretty interesting. If you went to bed last night, this story broke, I want to say, late in the evening. So, yeah, pretty interesting. The story doesn't say who ordered it or why there was the confusion, but it certainly uncorks the data. In response to the release of the report, Navy Captain Tom Gresbach, coalition spokesman, said Tuesday that about 56% of the country's 407 districts are under Afghan government control, 30% are contested, and 14% are under insurgent control. So, according to this report, 44% are either contested or owned by the Taliban. So, interesting little story in terms of that reversal, and be curious to see if there's a subsequent article that talks about why that reversal or what was the human error in all of that. So anyway, Marine Corps stories. It's interesting. More stories coming out about the, we were talking to the gunner yesterday about the Army's new pistol buy, and the issues that are surrounding it. So it's so interesting, just interesting. Another headline: Mexican citizen pleads guilty to human smuggling by Texas soldiers. A Mexican man living in the U.S. illegally has pleaded guilty to helping other immigrants be smuggled by American soldiers through a border checkpoint in Texas. Victoriano Zamora Yasso, J-A-S-S-O, 51, pleaded guilty Monday to conspiracy to transport and harbor immigrants and illegal reentry after deportation, according to federal prosecutors. The 2014 case involved four active duty soldiers at Fort Hood, the sprawling Army post in Central Texas. The soldiers were paid at least $1,200 per smuggled immigrant. Angela Dodge, a spokeswoman for the U.S. Attorney's Office, said Tuesday. The individual soldiers making trips between March and September showed Army identification and hid immigrants under military gear while going through the Sarita checkpoint. Some immigrants were eventually detected, and investigators then linked the human smuggling cases to the Fort Hood personnel. $1,200 a shot, man. I guess that's enough. Pretty interesting. Admiral Moran, who's the head of the surface warfare in the United States Navy now, made a trip to the Navy Surface Warfare Officer School. Largely symbolic, but nonetheless, it speaks to emphasis. So. He's on a mission to fix Navy readiness. He's the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, and so he shows him in a picture at the Surface Warfare Officer School. And again, he's making a bit of a tour as he looks for information to fix readiness. All right. His first stop on this trip was to Surface Warfare Officer School. So, again, it's a course that was stood down, and I'm sure we talked about it. You know, young naval officers were given a packet of DVDs and said, here you go. You go ahead and learn this stuff on the job. And so, anyway, interestingly enough, he has his own blog. Yeah. Called Navy Life. Here's his blog. Time well spent. I recently completed an energizing trip to Surface Warfare Officer School in Newport to get firsthand look at how surface warriors are taught and gain important insights into what instructors and students feel are important to the future of the surface force. As co-chair of the Oversight Board responsible for implementing recommendations from the Strategic Readiness Review and Comprehensive Review, our team is organized to trace what has already been done to ensure near-term safe and effective operations at sea and the longer-term institutionalization measures necessary for lasting improvement in today's surface force. Blah, 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 blah. To that end, a trip to Surface Warfare Officer School seemed necessary and appropriate. Spending time with instructors and prospective COs and XOs attending the Surface Commander's Course was my primary priority for the visit. Much has been written lately about the SWO leaders are thinking and feeling. Hearing directly from them was an important first step. Then he talks about dialogue and rapport. And finally, he concludes by saying this. Make no mistake, this is my top priority, and there is plenty of work out in front of us and more feedback to collect. The Oversight Board is not intended to be another administrative burden. The recommendations of the strategic review are solid, and it's our work to remain locked at the hip with the fleet and Vice Admiral Brown, surface warfare guy, to do everything within our powers to make sure these changes are meaningful and enduring. Success requires listening to your feedback and incorporating what makes sense. Implementing change in a vacuum will lead to failure. So anyway, so yeah, he's got a blog. It's called Time Well Spent is this entry. And yeah, you can you can find it. If you go to Navy Times, you'll see a headline, Admiral Moran, visit Surface Warfare Officer School. Click on that, and the link to his blog is posted there. Interesting when you have leaders of the Navy blog. This story is an Associated Press story, big news around the country, but another former Navy commander pleads guilty in the Fat Leonard bribery case. And again, what they're pleading guilty to is helping this guy, Fat Leonard, turning a blind eye to being the U.S. Navy being overbilled for fuel, food, and other services provided to Navy ships docked in Asian ports. It also deals with providing prostitutes and other entertainment for people that work for and with Fat Leonard. The only other story about the Marine Corps is a story about a raider, right, which is Marine Special Operators. So another female candidate has quietly made it through most of the first phase of the assessment and selection process of Marine Corps Special Operations Command in a quest to become the first MARSOC Raider. She's the third female that's attempting it. 25-year-old female sergeant has completed the 21-day first phase of the course, which began January 16th. The sergeant, who comes from the food specialist MOS, is on her first attempt through the phase. If she makes it to the end of the course, which wraps up the... Why is my phone on? If she makes it through the first phase of the course, which wraps up on the week of February 5th, it will be high enough aggregate academic and physical training score. She will be the first woman to enter the challenging and secretive second phase of MARSOC assessment and selection. That is not a given. The spokesman said it's expected that a number of candidates will leave the selection pipeline at that phase's conclusion with insufficient scores. So good luck to her. My own opinion is that I'm going to sound sexist. If you understand, most of the special operators that we're talking about are, they have very specific skills, right? And they're direct action people. So you have different roles, and I think it's easier to put women in those roles that can physically handle that. I think that it is for than general, being a general grunt. Which I think is more difficult because it's you're not in and out real quick. You're in and you're staying with its own prolonged physical challenges. So my own opinion is that it's special operators are kind of an easier place to integrate females than it is in than in other ground combat MOSs. Because it, you know, again, their direct action stuff that they've become known for, which is, you know, primarily what they do, you know, in our wars today, get in, get out, they hit targets, you know, there's a whole series of roles that are needed in those things. So, so the third time, a female has attempted it, and we'll see, we'll pay attention to what happens. We're going to take a break. Eric Hamill going to join us next. We're going to talk about Kaysan. Seas in the Clouds is his book. The author of close to 40 volumes on the Marine Corps. He'll join us. That coming up next here on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.